All right, we're going to be in the book of Proverbs tonight, the time that we have. And just got to thinking about a word that comes up in the book of Proverbs, and a word that probably is something that I personally need to learn a lot about. It's easy to preach about yourself, so that's what we're doing tonight. It's the word prudent, the word prudent. And when I look at my life and I look at the word prudent, we're on opposite ends of the dictionary, I'm sure. But I've met a lot of wise people in my life, a lot of prudent people, and typically they're older. And that's always been a blessing to me. Sometimes I've run across some middle-aged or even younger people that seem to have wisdom. And that's a blessing from the Lord to have that. But I got to looking at the word prudent in the book of Proverbs. And there are actually three different Hebrew words that are used for the word prudent. And I wanted to kind of talk about those three words tonight, go through some different verses. The most common word is a word, it's actually the word Aram. I know you're not going to remember that, but it's a word that means to beware. The most common word used in Proverbs is the word beware. And again, the word's used probably 13 or 14 times in the book of Proverbs, in our English at least. And it means to deal subtly or very cautiously, to use discretion and discernment. That's the most common word for prudent that we have in our English. It kind of has the idea of to be sensible. So when you're coming across a decision that you have to make or some kind of duties you have to do or just your everyday life, it's to use caution and to be subtle. It almost has the idea in the Hebrew of the word hidden. The word hidden. In other words, you're not out there being brash and running to the forefront like I do typically, but it's being hidden and contemplating, thinking, discerning, being cautious before you rush into something and before this opens. Be thinking about that first. Sometimes our mouth works before our brain does. I know that happens a lot with me, and I think my kids get that from their mom. I got in trouble in the office the other day with Brendan, Miss Pepperd, for saying that Jesse gets his issues from his mother, and I was chided severely. I don't know why, but I think they know me all too well. But it has the idea of thinking before you speak, to be subtle and hidden. You know, our culture and our world today has just, you've got to be at the forefront. You have to promote yourself. Self-esteem movement, all those other things are about, I want people to notice me, I want people to recognize me, and I have to be loud and call attention to myself. If there was one thing my mom always corrected me on, I probably heard it until I was blue in the face and I didn't seem to get it. She said, you have to stop being the center of attention. I always thought, why, Mom? I'm not the center of attention, but yet when I go into a room, I'm the loudest one there, and you know, running around, touching everything in the store, hiding under the clothing racks and all those kind of things that normal kids sometimes do, and then getting blistered when I got home. That was always fun because I was trying to be the center of attention. What I want everybody to see me. I'm here, you know, and that's not prudence. Prudence is to hide and to be subtle and to beware. Then there's another word. It's used maybe a couple of times, and it is the word bene in the Hebrew, but it's a little bit of a different meaning. Even though it's the same word in English, prudent, it means to separate mentally. In other words, to think critically. A prudent person not only uses caution and is hidden and is subtle with his actions and his words, but he also thinks through situations. He thinks about the outcomes. He thinks before he acts, and why would I do this? Or what does God's Word say about this versus what I emotionally feel about something or what all my other friends are doing or what everybody else is going on and what the culture or the social media or everything's pressing me to do, but I'm going to think critically based on God's Word. What am I supposed to do? That's a prudent person. And then there's another word, and it's just mentioned one time. It's kind of a unique place, a context that it's mentioned, and we'll get there in a little bit. It's the word sakal, and it means to be circumspect. And that kind of means to take the whole. To the Bible says, for example, walk circumspectly. To look all around and to see the big picture and to understand what's going to happen if you make a decision here. What's it going to do long term? What's the long term vision of that and the outcomes? To think very critically, to look around, to be intelligent, and to want to have success in situations by being circumspect. That's kind of the idea of prudent. And when we look at our word in the English, I've looked at the good old 1828. I got one in my office, Aunt Carolyn. I like the 1828 because they use some of the Bible verses that we're going to look at tonight are actually in the dictionary. If you tried to do that today, they'd probably sue the dictionary company and put them out of business. But it means kind of the same things we've been talking about. To be cautious. It means to be circumspect, to be looking around as a whole. It means to be practically wise, that as you make decisions and actions and speak, that you do it with wisdom. And as we said, to think before you speak. Another idea in the English is to be careful of the consequences. We kind of alluded to that already. To be thinking, if I say this, what's the consequences of that going to be? And if I act this way, you know, again, we live in a very brash society, very, very quick to act. They want the now. They want to be satisfied immediately. So they don't even put any thought into the consequence, into 3 days down the road, 3 years down the road, months down the road. They just act self-centeredly because they're not being hidden. They're not being subtle, as the word means. But they're not thinking about the consequences either. So these three areas of prudence really are to be cautious, to think critically, and to think circumspectly. And so I wanted to go through just a few verses quickly tonight that use these different words and learn some characteristics of prudent people. Very convicting to me. I hope that you learned something tonight as well as you look at these verses and think, you know, God is calling us to be a prudent people, to be wise people. And I believe more than ever in our generation that being prudent is a greater contrast than it ever has been. There's not a lot of wise and prudent people in our society today, sadly. People, again, are emotional and they're self-centered and they act for themselves and don't worry about the consequences. So to be a prudent person is actually to you'll stand apart. You'll be differentiated from society and people will know that there's something different about that person, and then maybe you have an opportunity to lead them to Christ or present the gospel to them. So let's look first, beginning in chapter 12, at that most popular word for prudence is to mean cautious, the word arum, to beware, to be hidden, to be cautious. Chapter 12, verse number 16. A fool's wrath is presently known. In other words, that very day, you know when the fool's upset, he lets you know. A fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. In other words, he doesn't respond in an emotional rage in front of everybody. Boy, you talk about, it's almost like God put that verse in the Bible for me. We tend to act quickly, tend to get upset quickly, and we show our emotions to everyone. I've had to learn in dealing with people and parents and things to just remain calm. I learned that from Mr. Brainerd, by the way. He told me many years ago, I said, how in the world does he deal with all these people out at Yak? And I'm sure it's getting worse as time goes on, as you have this next generation of parents that are even more self-centered. My boy didn't get to do this. And then just go into a huge meltdown. And Mr. Brainerd always says, just let them yap. Yap, 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 yap. And after a while, they're done yapping and they've drained all their emotions. And then you can say, okay, what's really the problem? And it forces them to think what the problem is. Well, that's being prudent. To not respond, you know, I've seen this too. If someone's angry and then you respond in anger, what happens? They get more angry and then you get even more angry. And the next thing you know, you have a volatile explosion going on and everybody's at each other's throats and it's not good. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. Again, that was one of those verses that my mom kept telling me when I was a boy. I think I need to post it on all the school hallways so I can continually be reminded of that. Soft answer turns away wrath. It's very quick to allow our emotions and our selfishness many times to speak quickly. But a prudent man covereth shame, or he is not wanting to reveal something that's embarrassing. In other words, embarrass himself by going into a rage and being emotional and speaking without thinking. There's some wisdom in withholding. There's wisdom in holding back those emotions and not responding in an emotional rage in front of everyone. Down in chapter 12, verse number 23, another usage of this word that means to be cautious or hidden. Again, you can see the idea there of being hidden. He's going to kind of hide his rage. You know, you may be upset about something, but you have to simmer down. And there's been times where I've had to tell people, you know, why don't you come see me tomorrow about that? If it's not a major issue, if it's something petty or small and they're all upset, we'll talk about it tomorrow. And you give them a night to sleep about it. And suddenly they're a little bit different. They've thought about it. You know, we've had many, again, we're using the ballpark as an example because it's ballpark season. And this summer when it's Gator season, Zach will probably use some of those, right? You kind of do that. But people will come and be all upset or call Mr. Rainer. I want to talk to you right now. I'll tell you what, why don't you come by the office tomorrow? And suddenly they're not quite as in a rage. There's wisdom in covering the shame, in hiding. Now, sometimes you have to deal with the problems immediately. I understand that. But there's wisdom in, and the fool just speaks. Like that verse said, a fool's wrath is known in front of everybody. He's speaking his mind, speaking off of his mouth. But go to verse 23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. Again, we're not hiding things that are wrong. We're not talking about, you know, sweeping things under the rug or being like a politician or something and hiding things, not wanting to talk about them. But a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. We got to, you know, like Mr. Brainerd said, we get on social media and got to tell everybody else about it. We got to spread things. That's a fool. A prudent man conceals the knowledge. In other words, he waits for the right time. Waits for the right time when the knowledge is going to come forth appropriately, and after he's weighed things and looked at all sides and things of that nature, not making a rash decision. That's a prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of a fool proclaimeth foolishness. Go to chapter 13, verse number 16. This is a similar verse, but actually it has a little bit of a different connotation. Chapter 13, verse 16. Every prudent man, cautious, subtle man, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. By the way, I love the contrast in Proverbs. They tell you the prudent man, and if you want to know more about what the prudent man should do, then look at what he shouldn't do by looking at the fool. And it gives you a lot of information as well. But here, a prudent man dealeth with knowledge. In other words, he acts on objective fact. People always have hearsay, don't they? They seem to like to stir up hearsay and different things, and they get all it going, and the next thing you know, you think, well, where did you hear that from? Well, so-and-so. Well, where did so-and-so hear it from? Well, we heard it from so-and-so. And you've heard it from five different people. It's finally gotten to you, and you're like, well, what are the facts? And I've had to do this many times with dealing with middle schoolers or something. You know, middle schoolers, when they have an issue with another student, they always come to me in the office, and they always tell me both sides of the story, don't they? Yeah. I've told the story before, but my first year teaching, I was probably a fool layeth open his folly. One time, and Zach, you remember this. This is probably eighth grade, I think. He knows I'm going to go to. Kyle and Zach were just such a wonderful pair to deal with in my first year of teaching. We won't talk about that, but they were messing around in the hallway. And right here by the supply room, Kyle, who was kind of a bigger kid, he fell. And he fell into the sheetrock wall, and he busted out a huge hole in the sheetrock wall. And they were like, oh, no. And so they both came to me, and, oh, Mr. Watt, Zach and Kyle. And Kyle said, yeah, we were just walking in the hallway, and I tripped, and I fell right into that wall. And I said, wow. I'm wet behind me. I mean, this is like my second month of teaching. I said, that's hard to believe. Wow. Then I thought, well, you know, Kyle's a bigger guy. I could see maybe it happening, falling at just the right angle right into there. And I went to Mr. Whitney because he and Mr. Roger did the maintenance. I said, Mr. Whitney, they've tripped in the hallway. There's a big hole in the wall. And he went, really? I was like, yeah, really? And he's like, what a fool. Well, you know, this guy, he's thinking, this guy's crazy. Then Mr. Whitney said, come on. And we went over there and he said, all right, boys, who pushed who into this hall? I did. What were y'all doing? Well, we were chasing each other and running through the library, and I pushed him, and he tripped, and he said, uh-huh, all right, well, we're going to fix it, and it's going on your school bill. And I'm just like, but they just tripped. A prudent man deals with knowledge. You got to get the facts. Every time I have a student come to me, and so-and-so did. I said, okay, you sit right here. Don't move now. Don't move. And I go get so-and-so. Bring him in, sit him down. Now, can you repeat that? I said, oh, you mean you just lied to me a few minutes ago? That you don't deal with hearsay, you deal with knowledge. Prudence. Prudence. You deal with knowledge, not the emotional feeling, or not what the gossip chain says and things of that nature. You deal with the facts, and you got to kind of sometimes peel the onion back and peel the layers back to get down to the facts and deal with them. These things are very practical, but they're hard for us. You know, I know I'm guilty of these kind of things, and this is challenging to be prudent and to be wise. Chapter 14, verse 8. We're still on that first word, the most common word that's used. Chapter 14, verse 8. And we're just quickly going through these. The wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. A fool is a deceiver. A fool is a hypocrite. A fool tries to put on a show. And what does the Bible say about the prudent man? The prudent man understands that way. He understands, in the Hebrew, it's the idea of the upright way. He knows that person is a deceiver. That person's a manipulator. I can see through the hypocrisy there, and I'm not going to be tricked by that hypocrisy like I was with the boys tripped in the hallway. You know, wow, those poor, are you okay? Did it hurt? You know, and no, they need to be reprimanded for doing what they do. And anyway, he sees through the hypocrisy and the deceit and the manipulation. A prudent man is not tricked by the manipulation and the hypocrisy. We want you to think this, but he sees through it. He sees through it. Moving on. Chapter 14, verse number 15. Verse 15 of chapter 14. The simple, easily led away, the simple believeth every word. But the prudent man looketh well to his going. In other words, he doesn't believe in our day. We'd call it fake news, wouldn't we? Everybody, it's amazing that people post things and agree with things that aren't even true. There's been 18 school shootings. Did you know that? In the month of January and half of February, there's 18 school shootings. That's what they're saying. And if you actually get down to the reality of it, there's only been two actual ones. Some of the other ones have been either near a school or a firearm was accidentally discharged by one of the security guard, things of that nature, and they weren't even shootings. So the simple man goes, but a prudent man, it says here, looketh well to his going. He examines. He looks. And he says, I want to know the facts before I believe something. I'm not going to be easily led astray by just the talk. Quickly, chapter 14, verse 18. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned, or the word there in the Hebrew is the idea of being surrounded with knowledge. Again, it goes right with the previous verse. To be surrounded with facts. When you're going to make a decision to know the facts and to know the consequences and to see ahead and to think cautiously through them to make that decision, surrounded with the facts. And you know, in the midst of all this, if you're walking with the Lord, being prudent is a lot easier because the Lord's there to guide you and the Lord's Spirit is there to point things out to you. The Lord's Spirit's there to uncover the hypocrisy and the fakeness and to get to the bottom of the facts and to give you wisdom. Wisdom is of the Lord. And He meets that request. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of the Lord. As James tells us, He gives and He gives abundantly. So in the midst of all this, yes, we're talking about practical prudence, but I don't want to undermine the need of walking with the Lord and the Lord providing that wisdom and prudence. Chapter 15, verse 5. There's that verse in verse 1 that I always, every time I see that, I think about my mom. There's some verses like that because she always had verses that she told me all the time. Soft answer turns away wrath. In other words, I always stirred up anger and had grievous words, and she was trying to teach me something and still probably is. Chapter 15, verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. How do you want to be a cautious and subtle and discerning person? You have to learn. You have to be teachable. You have to be amenable to discipline. And when things are brought to your attention, admit it and move on. Admit it, get it right with the Lord, and move on with things. That's prudence. That's growing in the Lord. But a fool says, I don't want to hear anything my parents have to say. I don't want to hear what the Word has to say. I don't want to hear what that teacher or the pastor or anybody else has to say. I want to do what I'm going to do, and I'm not going to worry about the reproof. Well, you're not going to be a wise person. And you're going to continue to make the same mistakes of foolishness and continue to live that pattern because of your disregard for reproof, young people especially, you better take advantage of your parents telling you when you're wrong or correcting you or when you get caught. I tell many young people in school when something happens and they get caught, I tell them, you better thank the Lord you got caught with this now. The Lord's trying to reprove you. That means the Lord loves you and the Lord wants to get this out now and for you to deal with it and get it under the blood and move on with life, because if it keeps being hidden, it's going to grow, grow, and grow. And I said, you need to think, count it a privilege that this was revealed and that now we can root it out and deal with the problem and you can grow in Christ. And they go, well, I got in trouble. Who cares about getting in trouble? I tell the kids, I hate that phrase. I got in trouble. No, say, this is an opportunity for me to learn and grow from the Lord and to seek the repentance that I need and to change and to seek God's forgiveness and to be a better person. Yes, there's still consequences. But I want to accept that reproof so I can grow closer to Christ. A prudent person loves reproof, doesn't abstain from it, doesn't hate it, doesn't talk bad about it. Chapter 22, verse 3 is the last one with this word. 22, verse 3, there's actually two of them in this near the end of the book of Proverbs that are almost identical in the verse, in the wording. Chapter 20, so we'll just look at 22, verse 3. We know this verse. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It's almost like, you know, there's the sign that says red light camera. And I'm half a mile away and I'm flooring it at the yellow, buddy. We're going to make it through. Well, that would be me, probably. A foolish person's, you know, Mr. Brainerd used to tell the stories in chapel about, I guess, down there at the Yellow River. Is that where it was, where the road ended? Ward Basin Road, and they had flashing lights and things for people to stop. The road ends and people, I guess, were drunk or whatever at night, and they'd drive right onto the river and drown. A simple person may see, well, there's a warning, but I'm going to go on anyway because I think I've got it figured out, and then I'm going to end up being punished and have to suffer the consequences. A prudent man looks ahead and foreseeth the evil. Remember what the word prudent means. It's right here. And hideth himself. Boy, that can be applied in so many different contexts. Young person, I see this group of young people over here and what they're doing. I'm going to hide myself from that because that's going to lead me to a punishment at the end. And besides the point that it's not right, you know, we want to honor the Lord. But wisdom says, I'm going to hide from some things. Wisdom says, I don't have it on me, if my cell phone is getting me in trouble, I'm going to hide from it. If what I do online is bringing punishment, I need to foresee the consequences of that and hide from it. Seeing the consequences of if I continue to disobey my parents and to disrespect them or whatever the case may be, if I continue doing things secretly, you're not looking ahead to the consequences. You're going to pass on and you're going to be punished. A prudent man sees the evil because, believe it or not, I know this is, we all know this, Satan hides it, doesn't he? He hides it. He's done that forever. Look at this beautiful fruit, Eve. He hides it. A prudent person says, there's the evil that doesn't look like evil, but I can find the evil in it and where it's going to take me. And I can, through God's Word and through the power of His Spirit, evaluate that and make a decision based on God's Word and say, that's wrong. And I foresee that it's wrong, and I'm going to hide from it. I'm going to go the other direction. That's wisdom. And that is the prudent person. Now, our time's almost gone, but we've just got a few more verses. That's the word cautious, hidden. That's a prudent person. But next, there's the word bene, which meant to think critically. To think critically, to look at the problem and to think through it. It's chapter 16, verse 21. Yeah, we'll go quickly through these. 16 through verse 21. The wise in heart shall be called prudent. The heart is the seat, the fountain from which things flow. Your thoughts, even your words, your actions, your attitudes. A wise person, a prudent person, controls those things. Thinks through what attitudes he should have. Thinks through the words that he's going to say. Thinks before he reacts emotionally or with affection and other different emotions and rage that can come. Thinking wise in the heart. A prudent person can control that emotion and that fountain. Chapter 18, verse 15. The heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. Those who cautiously think can get knowledge. Now you want to talk about, hey, let's just go along with everything. Let's just believe whatever comes down. You know, it's been amazing to me to think of, you know, they've done specials and series and things on some of the cults, like the Jim Jones and them. And it's amazing that people would go along with that man to such an extent that they would drink poison, basically, and kill themselves. Just going along with whatever. Just going along with it. Instead of thinking. Now, what does God's Word say? What's right and wrong from the Scriptures? And I'm not saying think critically in the sense that, you know, sometimes it's used in our culture today. I'm talking about, you know, God gave us a brain. He gave us a mind, and He wants us to use it. He gave us something to think about. The problem is we aren't thinking here. We're thinking in other areas and thinking in ourselves, and we're not thinking through God's Word because we don't know it in our culture today. And so we need, as Christians, to think and be prudent by using God's Word. Then the last one as we close tonight, the third word that was used is the word sakal, and it means to be circumspect. To think through an entire overall picture as we look around and reach a conclusion. That's being prudent. And it's kind of unique, the context that is used here in chapter 19, verse number 14. House and riches are the inheritance of fathers. So dads can, sorry, except my sons, sorry about that. But dads can pass down inheritance to their kids and riches and things of that nature and houses. And I've got a Ranger. That's about the extent of it. So we'll be passing that on down a few times. And that's about as far as we'll get to go. But there's nothing wrong with that, right, Mr. Gamble? That's a good Ranger to pass down. But here, houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, that word for prudent is only used here, and it's used another time in the book of Amos, and that's it. And I thought it was kind of interesting that it's used in the context here of a wife. You know, some things God gives, and this is one of them. Houses and inheritance come from parents, but if you have a prudent wife, a wife that is able to look around and be wise and make a big picture decision, that's a gift from the Lord, this verse says. It has the perspective and the big picture. That's the idea of prudent there. One who can, even if there's not any inheritance in houses, can see things and understand what to do and help the family in certain things. Kind of different than when you go up to verse 13, the contentions of a wife are a continual dropping. And then he goes into, what about the prudent wife? You know, it's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than a house with a contentious woman. There's different verses like that as well. In other words, we better be thankful for the wife God's given us. Better be thankful. And when that's a prudent wife that loves the Lord and is wise and seeks to be circumspect with the family, to look at everything that's going around from a spiritual perspective, that's a gift from the Lord. And it should be thankful for that as well. So as Christians, we need, I know we've covered a lot of verses tonight, we've done it very quickly and I went a lot longer than I thought I was going to, but as Christians, we need prudence in an emotional world, a world that is up and down, like a roller coaster. Here, up high, and then they're down low, then they're in kind of in the middle, and up and down, people are just all over. We need prudent people, prudent Christians. We need to teach our young people to think prudently, to know God's Word, and to know how to be wise through the Word of God. One of the greatest things we can impart to our kids, of course, besides salvation, is to how to use the Bible to live. And that's what God's given it to us for. How to know right and wrong, how to know how to make decisions, and the principles from the Scripture that can guide us to help us develop into being a prudent person. So as we kind of wind down here, I believe the Scriptures is one of the great keys to being wise and walking with the Lord and knowing the principles of God's Word. And I hope that that'll encourage us, and again, in a world that is emotional and self-centered, for us to be prudent people as we follow the Lord.